This WBEZ podcast is supported by The Auditorium, presenting Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, April 24th through the 26th. Experience the power, passion, and athleticism under the direction of newly appointed artistic director Alicia Graf Mack, plus five Chicago premieres showcasing the bold innovation and artistry that have made Alvin a global cultural treasure. Tickets at auditoriumtheater.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Federal judge is imposing a two-year prison term on the former ComEd CEO for her role in a long-running conspiracy to unlawfully influence one-time Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. The judge in Chicago today also imposed a $750,000 fine on Ann Promajori for falsifying ComEd business records to conceal unlawful payments to Madigan-blessed ghost subcontractors. Promajori has been ordered to report to a federal prison in Florida in December. Illinois U.S. Representative Eric Sorensen is among a bipartisan group of lawmakers calling for the release of investigation files into Jeffrey Epstein. The Moline Democrat says President Trump has broken his promise for transparency related to the deceased convicted sex offender.
What is he protecting and why? And this is what I hear from my constituents. They want transparency. And it's not just Democrats. It's Republicans, too. It is an overwhelming majority of the country that wants to be able to see this.
The Justice Department last week announced Epstein did not have a client list and declined to release additional documents. Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin is also calling on Attorney General Pam Bondi to release these files by August 16th. The Chicago Public Library has some green upgrades to its branches in South Chicago and Humboldt Park. Updates include new HVAC systems and solar panels to make library spaces more efficient and comfortable. This is part of a city initiative to transition public buildings to 100% renewable energy use. Commissioner Chris Brown says libraries are community hubs, so starting with them is a way for the city to show its commitment to sustainability.
Each of these investments in smarter city buildings, in more sustainable clean energy is an investment not only in the neighborhood, but also an investment in a smarter Chicago.
The library will host workshops starting next week to help residents learn more about solar energy and sustainability. And a quick word of caution for you. Dangerously hot conditions are expected starting Wednesday. The National Weather Service reports it could feel like 115 degrees in several counties in our listening area. Kane, DuPage, Will, and Kankakee, all through northern Illinois from Wednesday morning through Thursday evening. Cook County could see a heat index of 110 degrees, and the low temperature Wednesday night is not expected to drop below 90 degrees. The Weather Service cautions people to drink plenty of fluids, seek air conditioning, stay out of the sun, and check on your neighbors and your relatives. You're listening to The Rundown. Since President Trump took office, we've been hearing a lot about federal agents arresting immigrants outside schools, on their way to work, or after appointments in immigration court. But we don't have a lot of firsthand accounts about what happens next. My colleague Adriana Cardona-McGee-God brings us the story of one Chicago asylum seeker during his time in detention.
¿Cómo has estado? ¿Cómo estás? ¿Acabaste de llegar a tu casa?
Sí, el día de ayer.
Marcos was in ICE custody for nearly 3 months. I tracked him down after he got deported back to Venezuela in June. He agreed to tell me what happened in detention.
Okay, bueno,
He's calling from his mom's house in Caracas. His wife, Maria, is also on the call with their two-year-old.
Papi!
Hola, mi corazón. Mi vida.
She's connecting from their Southside Chicago apartment, where the couple was starting to build a life since they arrived in 2023. They have two other kids, 6 and 9. WBC is not using their full names to protect them from retaliation. Marcos was arrested this spring by ICE agents after he dropped his kids off outside their school. On his way out, federal agents surrounded his car and told him they had an immigration arrest order. Marcos says the agents never said why they were arresting him. He was confused. He and his wife had been following immigration law. They were applying for asylum, had work permits and driver's licenses. Marcos says many thoughts ran through his head at that moment. his kids inside the school, his journey to the U.S., and how excited he and his wife were after buying a car just the day before. Marco says the agents then took him to a Walmart parking lot. There, he says they handcuffed him and shackled him. Then they took pictures as if he had been arrested there. Marcos didn't understand what was going on, but immigration officials had been sharing photos of detained immigrants on social media. They are often accused of having criminal records. That morning was the beginning of a three-month odyssey. ICE kept trying to brand Marcos as a criminal. He says he endured terrible conditions at several detention facilities. At his first stop, a processing center in Illinois, he says he was questioned as if he had ties to gangs, which he denied. He was asked about his tattoos. Marco says one is of the Atlantic Ocean, another one is a rosary. There is also a tattoo of his kid's name. He says, just because I'm from Venezuela, it doesn't mean I belong to a gang. Then he says federal agents started hunting for evidence to suggest he was breaking the law. They unlocked his phone and questioned him about transactions in his bank account. I told them I'm a DJ. I work as an Uber driver, he says. I used to work at a McDonald's. Marcos insisted, I've never been arrested in the U.S. I've never had a DUI. I thought you were only deporting criminals. He told them he had followed the rules all along. He waited in Mexico for an appointment with immigration before entering the U.S. to start his asylum application. But he says the agents only ramped up the pressure.
Dime la verdad, si no te voy a enviar para el SECO.
Marcos was told if he didn't cooperate, he would be sent to this notorious prison in El Salvador, where hundreds of immigrants have been deported since Trump took office. That threat followed him from detention center to detention center. For nearly 3 months, they zigzagged him across the Midwest, the South, and the Southwest. He says he was locked up in 10 different facilities.
Me llevan a Kansas.
Transferred in vehicles that look like cars to transport dogs. His hands and feet always shackled. Marcos found legal help with the Chicago-based National Immigrant Justice Center. His attorney says locating him between transfers and communicating with ICE was extremely hard. The conditions were brutal. He says they made him sleep on metal benches with the lights on the whole night in Missouri. He sat on a bus all day in shackles, not knowing where he would be taken next. He didn't have enough to eat. He was in pain without medicine. Then, about 2 months into his detention, Marcos' asylum application was denied. He lost all hope of seeing his wife and three children anytime soon. ICE had what it needed to deport him. From then on, his biggest fear was being framed as a criminal. In one Texas detention facility, officials called me and another young man saying that immigration had sent a message that we were with El Tren de Aragua. That's a criminal gang that originated in Venezuela and that Trump says is invading the U.S. Marcos says he was forced to wear a red jumpsuit, the kind they typically put on violent offenders. He remembers being told by a guard, I should fear you. But to Marcos, this made no sense. He had no criminal record in the U.S., and he says he has no arrest records elsewhere. He was an asylum seeker who held multiple jobs in Chicago to support his young family, and now he was labeled a violent criminal. Marcos says the worst part was the toll on his mental health. There was the loneliness, the uncertainty, the inability to speak with his family for days, sometimes weeks. And if he talked back, he says he could be thrown in solitary confinement. He heard about a Venezuelan man who died by suicide in one of these detention centers. WBC couldn't confirm this, but news reports and advocates say deaths and health emergencies in detention centers have increased this year. I asked ICE and the Department of Justice why Marcos was arrested. Did they have any criminal evidence against him? No answer. The Department of Homeland Security says any claims about poor conditions are false. They say all detainees are provided with proper meals and medical care. Marcos was finally deported back to Venezuela last month. Federal agents never pinned a crime on him. Marcos is free. He and his wife, Maria, are relieved and video chat daily. But the family is separated, and Maria is alone in Chicago with three children, afraid and unemployed. In the apartment, the couple once thought would be the start of their American dream. Adriana Cardona Magigad, WBEZ News.
And tomorrow on The Rundown, you'll hear how Marcos' wife, Maria, struggled after he was arrested. Weather forecast today, hazy and warm, high in the mid-80s, and then partly cloudy tonight, a low near 70, and sunny and hot on Tuesday. Tomorrow, a high in the upper 80s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thanks for listening.